Minutes behind, but I wanted to make sure that we get started here right quick. I'd like to welcome everybody to the May 4th board meeting, which is a budget workshop for the budget for preliminary budget presentation of 2017-2018 fiscal year budget. I don't even have my agenda out yet. I do know it. You're right. I should know it by heart. Oh, look. We're called to order. We have four directors present, so that is a quorum. Let's have the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Giant crowd here today. We're going to have a presentation. We don't have separate public comment today, and I do have some comment cards, and we're going to have those after the budget presentation for Director Berenger.
There's one of the people that are in the audience wanted to make a comment because he has a time commitment. You're okay? Okay, fine.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I think we're okay. Thank you. Also, please silence your phones if you have them. Mine's
just
vibrating right now.
Madam President, if I could make a brief statement. We've met with the Finance Committee, and recently Patrick and I, the budget process has been a couple month process with the Finance Department and all the different departments and me and the department managers. And then we met with the Finance Department or the Finance Committee on a couple days ago. And the direction that we received from the Finance Committee is that they wanted a 2017-2018 budget that was balanced. In other words, to not take any funds from reserves and to bring forth a balanced budget. Since that meeting, Patrick and I have worked really hard on accomplishing that. And those are some of the things that he'll cover today as part of his presentation. One other note, Patrick and I met this morning, and we have come up with a way to fund the park in its entirety. I know that we were short a little bit, about $80,000 or so, and one of the things that we'll be suggesting today is an option that will enable us, if the board so chooses, to move forward with the phase one of the park. And that would not result in taking any money from reserves, which is consistent with the direction that the Finance Committee gave us. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Patrick. Thank you very much.
Madam President, members of the board, and members of the public, this is the first look at the preliminary budget for fiscal year 2017-18. All the budgets are balanced. We have three unique funds, the general fund, the revenues equal expenditures, wastewater fund, revenues equal expenditures, and in the water fund, revenues are actually a little higher than expenditures, but we'll get into that in a little more detail in a few minutes. The first thing I'd like to talk about is the differences in the budget process this year that we're proposing that are actually built into this budget. And I just want to get everybody's concurrence that what we're doing is the correct thing. The three things that we're doing different is we tried to develop a zero-based budget. I'll go through that briefly. We want to allocate property taxes differently than we've done in the past, and I'll explain why. And we want to distribute admin department costs differently than we have in the past, and I'll explain why.
Patrick, if I might, Patrick, just a process thing. Is it okay to do what I just did and to break in and ask questions as we go, or do you want us to wait until you get through the whole presentation?
Well, I think it'd be better to do it while I'm talking about
okay, so directors, if I'm not seeing your light, I'm going to assume you don't have anything, but if I don't see your light and you have it on, raise your hand so I can make sure that we...
Okay, zero-based budget. What we tried to do this year, it's not completely a zero-based budget because we didn't analyze every individual general ledger account, but in most of them we did. So if you look at budgets this year at the bottom, there's a section called notes. This is an example out of the fire budget. And what it does is it takes a general ledger account number and the title of the account. And to the right of that, it gives an explanation for what's in that account. So for grant revenue, it's just a description that the SAFER grant only goes through February. For M&R equipment, there's $900 in the budget, and these are the three things that comprise the $900 budget. A lot of the accounts are like that. Not all of them. A few of them we didn't get to, or they were just too difficult to try to... definitize right now, but most of them we have. So like if you look in 6080 M other, you see that we put $15,000 in there to conduct a ballot just in case there was a desire to move forward with trying to get a parcel tax in fire. It's not perfect, but it's a start, and hopefully it's much more transparent. People can look and know why a particular general ledger number is budgeted the way it is. Property tax, basically property taxes are supposed to only go to the general fund. And what we've done, this is kind of a, it's not an easy concept to understand, but in the past we've allocated property taxes like this. We put some in fire, some in facilities and resources, some in park and recreation, and some in admin. And the thought was that some property taxes are needed to cover administrative costs. But when you think about it, that's not really true. Administrative costs are distributed based on what department they should go into. And so by putting property tax in the admin department, what we've done is the costs for admin are $1.7 million. We take that $332 out, and we only distribute $1.4 million. That results in water and wastewater being allocated less than their fair share. So if you actually distribute $1.7 million, you can see that, like, in wastewater, it's $456 instead of $368. That's distributed, and in waste and in water, it's the same thing. It's 835 that should be distributed. Only 675,000 is being distributed. The other thing that happens is, like fire, is a little higher. It's 316 instead of 256, but they receive 1.7 million instead of 1.4 million in taxes. So the net effect over here is that fire actually ends up receiving 200,000 more. Facilities and resources a little more, and park and rec a little more, and water and wastewater are more fairly absorbing the cost of the admin department. So the way we've done this budget is using the second methodology shown on the screen, and I'd like to continue using that, but I just want to make sure that the board concurs with that approach to allocating property tax.
I will put that on the list to make sure that we have that discussion and get you a response of concurrence.
Yeah, okay. Well, also, when you approve the budget, if you approve this budget, you've approved that approach.
Right, correct. I just want to make sure I don't miss any of the things you need direction on as we go through.
The very last slide in the chart's got the items on there.
Thank you.
Okay. That's property tax. Okay. In the past, we distributed administrative costs to the various functional departments, fire, F&R, P&R, wastewater, water, and now SWF. In the past, we've done it only using this methodology right here, the one on the bottom, where we take in the admin department, we take each staff person and we establish how much of that person's time is devoted to each area. Then we take that person's salary and we weight those percentages. We do that for each person, from the general manager all the way down to me. And then we come up with a weighted average and we say, okay, this year we're going to assign 16% of administrative costs to the fire department, et cetera. What we tried this year was to be more specific, to get more, to take each line item in the administration budget and assign a methodology that might be different. It could be, we use four different methodologies. The first one, we said we're going to assign stuff to every department equally. We don't think it makes any difference whether it's fire or water or wastewater. Every department should get the same amount of coverage. The second methodology was to say we're going to do it based on the relative size of the department and kind of, we assigned fire, water, and wastewater is 25%, SWS is 15%, and facilities and resources and park and rec is much smaller. And a lot of the costs we allocated that way instead of based on staffing, because it a lot of things just don't lend themselves to staffing. Insurance, we don't, to allocate insurance based on staffing is not, doesn't make as much sense as allocating insurance based on how big the department is. And then the other methodology we looked at was based on how many people are in staffing, and the most obvious area for this is payroll. The payroll lady spends the vast majority of her time on fire, not only because we have more firefighters than we have anything else, but also because it's a much more complex process. Paying me is really easy. Paying a reservist, a fire reservist, is extremely complex. So it's more reasonable to base some costs on how many people, how big the staff is in a department. So we looked at those four methodologies, and then we went through for each line item in the budget for the general fund, and we said, like this one, we're going to do this based on staff allocation. We're going to allocate salaries and wages based on how much time in this admin department is spent in each area. For the website cost, we said we're going to divide that equally over every department because it really – every department benefits the same from the availability of the website. And then insurance, we did it based on the relative size so that the larger departments were getting a bigger share and something like Park and Rec was getting much less. When we did this for every item in admin, these are only a few examples, but the bottom line is right here, and it came up with these percents on the bottom, and these are the percents that we use to distribute the administrative costs to the various departments. The interesting thing is that if you compare what we came up with to what we had used before, there's not a whole lot of difference. I think we're more definitive in what we're doing. We have a better reason for doing what we're doing, but in the bottom line, it didn't make a whole lot of difference. We were fairly accurate the way it was before. Any questions about that? No. Yes.
When you say size of the department, is that based on budget or staff? Or assets?
Right. It's based on impact. In my opinion, and I can change it any way somebody wants. If you don't like the way it's set up, we can change that.
I just want to make sure I understood what you meant by size. Thank you.
Yeah. And so to me, you know, I've been here a couple of years, and it seems like that fire, water, and wastewater have pretty much the same impact on operations. SWF a little less, sometimes a lot more, but generally a little less. And then the two smaller departments, very minor impact. But we can change those numbers around to be more realistic to whomever we need to make it realistic to. And actually, it's you five people up there.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so now those are the three things that are different this year than they've been in the past. And I'm just going to briefly go through each department and point out the major revenues and expenditures and if there's any substantial impact of other things. The fire department, revenues equal expenditures so that it's a balance. Whoops. I skipped a lot. So there's no impact on the fund balance. This budget includes $75,800 for a grant that we've applied for, we haven't received yet, and basically that grant helps offset the $93,000 that we've budgeted to purchase personal protective equipment. Even if that grant doesn't come through, we need to make that purchase, so we'll have to find that money elsewhere, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. This also includes $117,000 for the SAFER grant. The SAFER grant only goes through February of next year, so there'll be 4 months where our SAFER firefighters are not funded with a grant, and that's shown right here. The cost of the SAFER firefighters is $163,000. We expect to get $117,000 reimbursed, so there's a $50,000 difference there, and we've absorbed that. That's part of the balance budget. And then the $69,000 property tax department, when we started the budget process, we went to the department heads and we said, we need to know how much money you need to operate effectively this year. We didn't tell them how much money was available. We just said, we want to know what it's going to cost you. And we negotiated and we worked, Jerry and I met with each department head two or three times. And we came up with a number, and for the fire department, it was $2,292,922. So then we threw what revenues we thought we were going to get in the mix, and we ended up with $69,000 more than we needed to fund our requirements. So we have a need over in a park and rec department to pay for park improvements. So we took that $69,000 and we put it in the park and rec department to help fund the East Ranch Park. So that's the trick to balancing budgets. You take excess money and you move it to where you need it, or if you need more money, you take money from someplace else and bring it in. But for the fire department, this budget includes $69,000 that can be put into the park and rec department this year just for that special funding requirement. Facilities and resources, same thing. There was $40,000 more in property taxes than they needed, so we took it out of the facilities and resources department and put it in the park and recreation department. There's a $1 negative down here, and I did that to take the opportunity to explain to everyone that we use Excel to develop our spreadsheets, and operates in cents and fractions of a cent when you start putting formulas in it. And so when it adds up, it'll often not add to exactly a dollar. And if the balance ends up being minus 30 cents, it'll show up. Well, if it's minus 30 cents, it'll show up as a zero because it rounds to zero. But if it's minus 70 cents, it'll show up as minus one. So just so you'll know, when you're looking through the budgets for the rest of your life and you see a negative dollar or positive dollar, it's not that I'm not doing my job. It's that Excel is very difficult to make come to zero. So just thought I'd point that out.
Director Farmer.
Patrick, I just want to ask, this is me for clarification for people out in the audience out there watching or just myself. Facilities and Resource Department includes?
I'm going to throw that at Fiscalini Ranch, street lighting.
All of our physical, this building, the public restrooms, the administrative building, pocket parks, the Fiscalini Ranch, and our Center Street property, things like that. So, street lights.
Okay.
Trash cans, they don't empty them, but they help maintain them and things like that. Skate park, And I think I've
this
covered.
This building.
This building. I think I've covered. Excuse me. I think I've covered everything.
All right. Thank you.
As a follow-up question, General Manager Gruber, what's it then in the Parks and Rec side? If we have the skate park in facilities and resources, and we have pocket parks in the,
yeah.
So what's in the Parks and Rec?
It's project specific, and so in this particular budget, it would be the Phase One East Ranch Park project. For an example, last year within that budget, it was funds allocated for Civil Design Studios and Firma to develop the necessary plans, topography, permits to move forward on the park. Usually there is a small amount, if it's not project specific, usually there's a small amount allocated to pros in case they want to attend some kind of seminars or workshops or something like that. But usually it's not a department that's has a lot of money allocated to it.
This is maybe something that we could be discussing. It's maybe that needs to be more like the capital budget for facilities and resources, or we need to split it out so it's more clear. I mean, this is clearly not a park, but it is used for recreation. So, I mean, the distinction of having the two departments has always kind of been vague to me. And so maybe having a capital budget for you know, doing things like the East Ranch Park or something, just something to kind of think about how we do that. I don't want to take away from pros being able to attend seminars. I know there was a big trail conference that several people attended that was helpful for us, so I don't want that to go away. I just want to be clear what each department's doing.
Okay, now we come to Park and Recreation. There's a total budget of $145,325 for property tax in the Park and Recreation Department. $35,000 of that comes from taxes that were allocated to PNR, $69,000 from fire and $40,000 from FNR. That's how we get to come to a total of $145,000. In addition to that, there's $131,000 remaining from the Prop 1A reserve money that was set aside by the board 2 years ago in the budget to be applied to the East Ranch Park improvements. On the expenditure side, there's $10,000 to demolish the Phillips House, and there's a $227,000 budget, which is all the money that's available in this budget to go towards the East Ranch Park improvements. There's actually the bid is for $303,000, so we're about $70,000 short. And in a few minutes, I'll present a potential way to fix that. But right now, this is the budget we have. And the intent was to fund it over 2 years, to fund the improvements over 2 years. In the admin department, there's no property taxes. We took them out right here. And there's $89,000 in other resources. And those other resources are primarily franchise fees. There's $80,000 in franchise fees. And what we do now is we use that money to offset the cost of general fund operations before we distribute it to the operating departments. What staff would recommend, because franchise fees are really standalone money, they're not applicable to fire, they're not applicable to water or wastewater, we're going to recommend that the board considering taking franchise fees this year and applying them to Park and Rec to make up the difference in the funding that's required to do the whole project this year. Now, it won't actually be $79,000 because when I take it out of here, it's going to go down. It's going to increase the amount of funds that have to be distributed out of the general fund, and some of that will go to fire, some will go to FNR, some will go to Park and Rec, but most of it, about 60% of it, will be left in Park and Rec itself. And so that's going to be about $50,000. And then I think staff can be a little creative and come up with another $20,000 to make up the difference between what we need and what we don't have now in Park and Rec to complete the East Ranch Park Improvement Project. This is just showing what the additional cost will be in fire. It'll be if we take this $80,000 and distribute it as part of the unfunded admin department costs, these are the costs that will be distributed to fire, F&R, Park and Rec, water, wastewater, and SWF. And then, so this is the amount that won't come back, which is about $20,000. But the rest of it will. It'll come back to Park and Rec. It'll be more obvious once I put it all together and bring it back to you at the May board meeting, if we're given direction to do that. The wastewater fund, revenues equal expenditures. However, there's nothing included for capital projects. When we started looking at this budget, staff kind of felt like we need a few $100,000 as a minimum and capital improvement projects, but that would require a deficit budget. And so we didn't include any of that in this budget. Last year, we had a $550,000 deficit that was funded by a loan from the general fund that was intentionally done by the board. This year, we're not recommending that. We're recommending that we have a balanced budget. And then if the board decides that they want to do some capital projects, then we'll have to figure some how we're going to fund that.
Madam President, and just a caveat to that, as you can see, there's $66,000 for contingency, and that's if something unforeseen happens, such as a motor or a blower. But there's also $50,000 treatment plant repairs. And so you're looking at $116,515. So it's a true statement that we don't have any money for capital, but we do have money allocated for the ongoing maintenance of the plant in case something happens. You know, change the oil, change the belts. You know, a motor burns up, a bearing goes out, a blower needs to be replaced. So, again, it's a true statement, but hopefully if we watch our pennies and our nickels, we can stay within budget and still be able to maintain the equipment that we have at the treatment facility.
So would it be true to say that we're not deferring maintenance in this budget? We're just not doing any new or replacement of what we already have?
Yeah, deferred maintenance.
I want to clarify.
That's
things.
A really good question. Deferred maintenance to me, by definition, is that we're not going to continue to maintain what we have. And I think this budget allocates enough funds to be able to do that. From the capital side, and the ad hoc committee has been working really hard on this, and we have a CIP list that's been updated, those would be additional new components or complete replacement of components. But within the existing budget, I believe there's enough money to maintain. We don't want to continue to defer. We want to be able to maintain. So to answer your question, yes.
Thank you.
There is also $15,000 in this budget and another $15,000 in the water budget to conduct another rate study in case the board decides you want to do that. Because we did, if you recall, the last rate study that we conducted a year ago in 2016 did not look at any kind of infrastructure improvements in the wastewater fund. It allowed for $1 million of improvements in the water fund. Which is one of the reasons the water fund is much better off now than the wastewater fund. So we may want to consider, staff would recommend that we do that again, have another one. In the water fund, there's three operational components, and then we have the capital project. The operational components, the water operations, right now we have a surplus of $223,000. SWF operations, there's no budget because we're recommending that we not run that plant this coming year because of all the water or all the rain that we had. And then the SWF capital cost recovery budget has got a $51,000 deficit. So it nets to $171,000 surplus in the water fund for next year. On the capital project side, we've budgeted $13,202,000 in expenditures. We have actually already received $13,321,000, so that leaves us $119,000 that's not been budgeted. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. In the Water Operations Department, revenues are $223,000 higher than expenditures. This includes, on the expenditure side, $100,000 for contingencies, like General Manager Gruber just talked about for wastewater, the $15,000 rate study, and we've put in $39,000 for resource conservation efforts, trying to revitalize that effort a little bit, shower heads and that sort of thing. And then we've also included $50,000 for the Stewart Street tank repair, and I think General Manager Gruber has a little more up-to-date information about that.
Yes, I received from ATS William Bellis today four options, and I provided that to the board. I apologize for not having some extra handouts, but he does give us some options, and you know, we can have a discussion regarding the Stewart Street tank. I know there's a strong desire to pursue grants and low interest loans. So there's two options that would get us a repair that would enable us to hold off on replacing that tank for several years. The first being about $30,300. That would replace the panels on the top. I think that's an alternative that's appealing to the Infrastructure Ad Hoc Committee. There's a second one of $64,000, which we would need to budget a little bit more, and that would be to replace the eight panels on top of Stewart Street tank, in addition to replacing one of the bad side panels. And then there's option three, which is the bolted tank. These are the same size tanks. We wouldn't be altering them at all for $326,000. Then there would be the new welded tank of $457,000. I think at least preliminarily, what I'm hearing is that, can we get this tank back to where it needs to be in a relatively short period of time at a minimal cost? And in parallel to that, we can be, you know, seeking grants and seeking low interest loans and things like that. I don't want to go into the details of that and the process and how it all works, because I've really educated myself a lot on that. But there are components to a low interest loan and to a grant, and for your application to be deemed complete, there's the engineering aspect of it. There's the engineering, and there's the environmental and permitting aspect of it, and then there's the financial aspect of it. And so whatever option we choose, we could defer William's work for another year and then fund him to start the preliminary work on the design, the permitting and design. And then at that time, we could go ahead and pursue in 18-19 the grant or low-interest loans. But I haven't put any money in this budget for him to do that work. I've just put money in this budget to repair the tank. So the grant and low-interest loan process is about a year process. And when we do start that, I would want him to have all those other components completed. So when we do submit an application, it's deemed complete. So what we could do is, we've budgeted $50,000. We could say, Jerry, come up with another $14,000, and let's do that side panel, or let's go ahead and do the $30,300 repair, which would gain us a net surplus of $16,000, roughly $19,000. And then in 18-19, we could budget for William to start the design work in conjunction with the grant or low-interest loan. So there's just a lot of moving parts, but what we did want to present to you today is just options. And I've heard, you know, loud and clear from the ad hoc committee, the infrastructure ad hoc committee, in a perfect world, sure, would I like to replace this tank? My original budget had the funds in there to do that. The finance ad hoc committee said, Jerry, we want a balanced budget. So I went back to William Bellis and I asked him to provide me some alternatives. And I hope these alternatives are suitable to the board. Thank you.
So the bottom line is that we still have $200,000 available to do whatever you want to do with the Stewart Street tank. If you wanted to put another 20 in, you could do that easily and still have a surplus in the water fund. On the SWF side, we're not budgeting anything for operations, and on the capital cost recovery side, this is what pays for the loan. These are the revenues that come in to pay for the loan and to pay for the maintenance of the system when it's not operating. And we haven't really gone through a year where we've had no operation, so we're not 100% certain what the sampling requirements are going to be. We're not 100% certain what the permitting costs are going to be, if they'll be the same whether we're operating or not operating, that sort of thing. We've made our best guess, and right now we think it'll be about a $52,000 deficit. On the capital project side, we've budgeted for $13,321,256, and we actually have that. We received the, what was it called? Pardon? The withholding, yeah.
If I could, this is a giant check, but we did get the $219,112.75 the other day. So this is in the budget. So I just wanted to show this, but we're pretty happy with getting this. So, but this revenue does. Reflect in this budget. So,
and it is exactly what we knew it was going to be, $219,000. So in this budget, we've made two changes. I had task order 8 in there twice. I had it once under CDM Smith task orders, and I had it once under mitigation. So I took it out. So that left us $108,000 extra. We also added $40,000 for monitoring and reporting equipment. That's necessary to ensure that we don't have any more NOVs moving into the future. But so the net effect is $65,000 more available than in the last budget. And right now, today, we have $722,000 in future mitigation funds that have not yet been committed. Last year when we developed the budget, we started with $1 million. We said we're going to set aside $1 million to ensure that we have enough money to process for the permanent permit. So far, we've had two commitments that have brought it down to 722. But what you basically have is you have 119,000 that there's no commitment at all, and you have 722,000 that's available for future mitigation. But you can move money out of there and do other things with it if you want to. None of this includes any administrative costs. That we made a decision a couple of years ago that we weren't going to charge administrative costs to the SWF funds because we wanted to make sure there was enough money to get the project completed. If the board decides they want to charge admin costs to the SWF fund, we can do that, and it would basically have to come out of this money right here and this money right here. It would, you know, we'd have to define what we want to charge in the way of admin costs, and then we'd have to, you know, I'd have to sharpen the pencil and tell you what we could legitimately charge to this fund if we decided to do that.
And Madam President, just as a point, and board, as a point of clarification, you'll see the $40,000 monitoring reporting equipment. Those are four items that I put in there recently based on the NOBs that we've received and the need to really make sure that we are abiding by all the requirements outlined in both of our permits. But the first one would be for a sonic recorder for the impoundment basin. And what that is a device that sits above the water. The Regional Water Quality Control Board, and rightfully so, wants a more sophisticated methodology to measure the level of that pond as opposed to the method we're using now. The second one is an Op-10, which is software that would enable us to stay current, but also be able to automate and download the existing data that's being sent to the computers at the Sustainable Water Facility and being able to download those into report formats. The third one is a tough pad, and that's a laptop, basically, that's made for specifically out in the field for operators. They can bring it around equipment. They can. It's an industrial iPad, if you will. And the fourth one is, and this is something that I've talked about quite a bit, is the battery backups for the PLCs. When that system was designed, we don't have a generator out there. We don't have an automatic transfer switch. So when we lose power, we don't have, per se, a system that would enable us to run the facility. But we do want to be able to hold on to the data that's been accumulated into the equipment out there. And so battery backups would enable us to do that. So I came up with some prices, and staff feels that those four items could be easily purchased and installed. And also some of those would be incorporated into the OOMMP, which we would ask for permission first from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, specifically the battery backups and the sonic meter. And then we incorporate that into the OMOP and get the Regional Water Quality Control Board's blessing before we move forward with the installation of those. So.
Question, General Manager Gruber, PLC is?
It's a programmable logic controller. It's a computer, basically, and when you lose conventional power, if you don't have a battery backup on those, similar to your computer in your office, then you can lose valuable data. So if the system was running and recording information and we had a lapse in power, even just for a relatively short period of time, we could lose that. The Regional Water Quality Control Board referenced an incident where that happened in December regarding the CT, which is a chlorine contact. There was an anomaly that they noticed. And so we're just trying to address all those things on multiple fronts so it doesn't happen again.
Thank you.
So that's basically the end of the presentation. These are the items that we're looking for direction on. We've talked about all of them during this presentation, and the majority of them, if you approve the budget, then you have approved our recommendations. The vehicle replacement policy, we don't have a vehicle replacement fund. I'm going to try between now and the next board meeting, I'll try to come up with a preliminary estimate of the cost to try to develop that sort of a thing, where we set aside cash each year, enough cash so that when we need to buy a vehicle, we actually pay cash for it instead of financing it like we do now.
Vice President Sanders.
Thank you. Patrick, help me do the math here. Can we go back to the fire department slide for a moment?
Sure.
There you go. Okay. So currently the SAFER grant is the SAFER grant for this fiscal year will be $117,613.
Right.
It will cost us $168,000 and some change for the entire fiscal year to keep the four SAFER firefighters on board.
Right.
It's apparent that we can, at least for the coming fiscal year, keep the SAFER firefighters on board without having to ask the community for a special assessment.
Right.
What about going forward? beyond the coming fiscal year into the next and succeeding fiscal years?
There's only three safer firefighters.
Three. I'm sorry, I said four. Three.
Yeah.
There's four on a four on a truck.
On
three
a truck,
safer.
But only three safer firefighters. I think we would be in a position to do that. The fire department is primarily funded through property tax, but also the fire service benefit assessment. There's also that assessment for the fire department. And if it's a board priority to do that without additional revenue, we could assign more property tax into the fire department. I think we would have enough right now to be able to do that, especially if we weren't trying to fund improvements in the East Ranch. We could probably do that.
I mean, going through your memo and doing the math, the net difference between the additional property tax allocated to the fire department and the administrative overhead charged to the fire department is plus or minus $60,000.
Right.
So we'd be looking at about $60,000 we'd have to come up with to keep the three safer firefighters on board, correct?
Okay. And we transferred $69,000 property tax out of here over to
this time,
Park
right.
and Rec. So.
So far. Right.
That's just for this year, though, but we would be able, it's not $60,000 a year going forward. That's just for the next fiscal year.
That's just this fiscal year.
But we would possibly be able to, going forward, to keep those additional firefighters so we have the same level of service.
Yeah, and if you go back to the, I can find it here. Right here, if you go back to this chart, by reallocating the way we do, taking this out, we went from 1.4 million to 1.7 almost. That's $2.8 million. I mean, $280,000, that's now available in the fire department.
I bring it up because number one, it's a public safety issue, but secondarily, perhaps as important. The sword of Damocles is kind of hanging over the heads of these three employees, and they need to know one way or the other whether or not they're going to be around. And I think the board owes it to them to take the sword of Damocles away and either tell them they're permanent or not.
Director Farmer?
Yes, I'd like to go back to page 18, SWF capital cost. I'm just curious, you know, it says here no operations for entire years, so there's nothing under revenues and expenditures. Yet if I'm not mistaken, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, you know, has requested that we dismantle the brine pond, and I believe both Director Sanders and myself estimate that cost to be roughly $1 million. And this is something that we have to do. Is there anywhere in the budget that we are being allocated for that? And also, you know, right now we're still needing to get the level of the brine pond down to an acceptable level for the water board. And then we have to truck the brine. And this is going to be a serious cost to the ratepayers of this community. Is this in the budget anywhere?
Yeah, the only funds that are available are in the capital project. In the capital project budget, there's $722,000 that's available for mitigation efforts, and that would certainly be a mitigation effort. And there's $120,000 that's not committed at all, so that's about $850,000. And that's the only money that's available.
Madam President, may I comment? Those are very good questions, Director Farmer. So we're estimating, based on where the current level of the impoundment basin is, and just as a side note, I can go ahead. We've finished all of our correspondence to the Regional Water Quality Control Board from their letter dated April 13th regarding coming up with a plan to get it down to the acceptable permitted level, and then a response to all those. And I'll sign that letter when I'm done here today and get that out in the board, and we'll get a copy of that. So we're estimating at the current level that to get it down to permitting levels will be somewhere around $30,000. In parallel to that, we've applied for reimbursement as part of our emergency declaration through OES for that amount. We had a preliminary phone call with the folks at Cal OES today. Director Farmer, that's not guaranteed. We don't know if that money's guaranteed. Also, I think the cease and desist order didn't use the word dismantle. They use the word cease and desist, which means to not use that anymore, and that's an ongoing conversation. So those are a lot of unknowns. Those are a lot of unknowns. I agree with you on that.
Well, semantics is one thing, but we have to empty the brine pond and either repurpose it as water storage or just leave it as it is, and that's going to be a considerable cost to the ratepayers of this community. And whatever phrase, whatever terminology we use, that's the bottom line.
That's correct. The cease and desist order does indicate that they want a plan to be brought forth within 90 days after the July 14th meeting, which would be somewhere in August. And at that time, they would determine the methodology and the means in which to get the end and the duration of time to be able to get it emptied. So those are things to consider.
And there, once we have a plan, it'll be more clear how many of those costs would go into the 17-18 budget versus budgets in future years. It is a potentially large amount of money, but it's not necessarily in the 17-18 budget that we will have to. We won't know. That is an unknown, just as General Manager Gruber said. But it's also possible with the plan we will be able to spread that cost out. Now, what I'd like to do, if you guys are finished with the presentation, unless anybody has other questions, I want to take public comment, and then we'll come back to the board for discussion.
Could I ask one more thing?
Yes, please, page, Director Farmer.
Thank you. On page 13...
Number these? Oh, good, you did. Thank you.
Under revenues, where it says vacation rental fees, now does this mean... Page 13, under administration department, where under revenues, under franchise fees, where it says preliminary budget, $600. So I want to know what that amount represents.
I'm not familiar with what she is.
We do charge a fee for anybody that applies for a vacation license rental with the county. It's an administrative fee. It's $25.
Just $25?
Yes.
Once?
One time.
Does a person that owns a vacation rental, they have to pay a fee also to the county?
I believe so.
Transient occupancy tax.
Okay. Not to be weird behind it, but when I think about how much money people make on vacation rentals, can't we charge them more than $25? I'm not being penurious or anything, but I'm not being greedy, but considering the fact that people that come here and use vacation rentals use the services of this community, including water and wastewater. And the owner of that property is paying a fee of $25.
Well, they just pay water and sewer rates also.
Right. Okay, well, maybe I'm just seeing the world through a different lens. I was just curious.
Director Farmer,
We can only recover the cost of doing it. We can't penalize. We're not a taxing organization, so we can't.
Thank you, Director Merrinder.
All we can do is charge. It's the way it is.
Thanks. It is an application fee, a one-time fee, and but while we're on the subject, we have a master fee schedule, and that's Director Farmer, different from the Prop 218 process. I was on a committee with Director Berenger and Director Thompson several years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now, and that master fee schedule should be looked at and evaluated and tweaked, if you will.
Madam President, on the question of fees, where does the annual fee that we assess the water wait list owners, where does that show up? No. Where does it show up in the?
It's in the water department.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we will take public comment. First up, we have Elizabeth Bettenhausen, followed by Steve Niffen. And what I'm going to do is folks will have 3 minutes, but the budget is very large, so I want to give everybody a chance first, and then if you have additional things that you would like to contribute, we will look at where we are time-wise. Mm-hmm. So
I think with the number of people in the audience, we can probably get under half an hour with 3 minutes each. Madam President, it is just always fascinating to do this, and I want to start by a comment. I worked at the National Offices of the Lutheran Church in America for more than 5 years on issues such as criminal justice reform and equal rights and combating racism, et cetera, a lot of public policy questions. And out there on Madison Avenue in Manhattan, we walked in and had to account on paper for every half hour of our time as employees, whether janitors, heads of departments, or hired ethicists such as myself. My first question about this proposed budget is, how are CCSD administrative services tallied? How do we know how much time staff spends on wastewater, for example? How much time does the general manager spend on resources? How much time does the assistant to the district engineer spend on parks, etc.? How do you keep track, actually, and make this information available to the public? Those are two different things. So how do you determine now in the presentation, just orally now, what is the fair share, I quote, and the impact on operations? How do you determine that numerically? My second question, why do the administration officials of CCSD need different offices? That's a very big question, actually. Three, why is there no preliminary budget for the emergency water treatment plant other than capital costs? Or now I will revise that from what I wrote earlier this morning. What do we mean by maintenance? And that really needs work, friends, because we as ratepayers now cannot check this budget from month to month. Number four, please include in your agenda for the next meeting what was discussed in here somewhere, and that is whether you're going to call vacation rentals, residential or commercial, and you will recognize the signature Elizabeth Bettenhausen for at least the past 5 years. And I might add now, hearing about the little fee of $25, I asked the CCSD by email, they never responded. I said, do you charge this to Airbnbs too? Because we've got over 200 of them in town now, and heck, that's a little $25 times two. I think we could figure that out. Number five, where should I look in the budget for the expenses related to doing the regular water audit to account for the disparity between pumped and metered water? No reference to this after the general manager some time back assured us that the staff was going to meet and prepare the auditing process. There's nothing in here about that. And finally, on resource conservation, please look at that carefully. It has nothing to do with resource conservation, except we're now going to reduce the voluntary lot reduction, merger stuff, 2 seconds, from $50,000 to $20,000, but allegedly increase it by $14,000. Friends, this is so in need of additional work. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Steve Niffen? Followed by Tina Dickinson.
So if I may be so, Steve Niffen, Cambria, and the chairman of the Parks and Rec Department, if I may be so bold, is, man, that is confusing stuff. And I don't understand it. So I think what I am going to attempt to do here today is to advocate for the children and the responsibility we have as a community to finally get this park done. So I can't really advocate for what it is that Patrick has been talking about. I'm like, wow, we've been really struggling on how we're going to pay for that. If I was an accountant, I wouldn't have worried about it because you can just shuffle that around. If that's the case, do it, because it's something that needs to be done. I've said it a number of times before. I promise you we'll pay for the playing field. The private part of this town will pay for the kids to play, but we have to build the infrastructure. And that's this government responsibility. So I can dwell into all of it if you had questions about what it is, where we're doing, where we're at with bid, who won the bid project, on and on and on. But I'm just here to strongly advocate for finally pulling the trigger and getting this project done. Thank you.
Thank you. Tina Dickinson, followed by Christina Tobin.
Good afternoon, Board. Tina Dickinson, Cambria. On page 39, under administrative cost allocation prior methodology, under Parks and Rec, property tax revenue $23,770, administrative cost for allocation $29,563. How on earth is it possible for admin to be charging more than the money that's coming in from the property taxes? It's a difference of $5,793. That's one thing. And while we're at that same topic of property tax allocation, I am absolutely I don't know what to think about these four different formulas that are mentioned here on page 41, 42. It goes on, I think, to 45 or so. But which one has been determined by staff that would actually be the best formula to come up for administrative costs and how they are designated to each fund? I would think that the one that would, whichever one costs the least, would be the one that you would want to look at. Another, on page 20, director's travel, I saw $10,000. So far this fiscal year, $4,868 has been spent. I would advocate that director's travel might involve in the future more of Skyping or whatever through, I know my daughter is applying for positions throughout the world, actually, and that's how it's done many times. We don't have to be making these expensive trips, and oftentimes they work really, really well. I've got another issue with the different names that Mr. Flores has. On page 22, under administration, balance public relations, 10%. This is under, so that's one. On page 28, balance public relations, and then the amounts. 37, underwater, strategic advisor. But that strategic advisor, $101,592, happens to be balanced public relations. There's a note on page 38 explaining that. On page 32, I would like to know, under number 11, this is sort of like the second group of numbers toward the end, advocate, $55,000. Could someone please tell me who is the advocate for $55,000? Let's see, director's allocation, part-time director's fees. Oh, part-time director fees on page 43. May I have a few more seconds, please? Page 43, part-time director's fees. So I'm assuming that is our board of directors, $18,000. So that's for 6 months if you were all to attend 6 meetings a month. if you are to attend, that only covers 6 months. Now, depending whether you have one to six meetings, but it seems you've been having an awful lot of meetings. So I really question that $18,000. $36,000 would be the full amount for 6 meetings per month for 5 directors. So that might be something that could be looked at. There is, I think I already, I'm just finding this allocation of admin costs to be quite extraordinary. We're not going to charge the SWF fund for admin, and yet the costs for these other funds are astronomical. And I really have to wonder. It doesn't say labor for staff. It said effort put forth by staff. I would think that would be an effort. That's one thing. But we need to be sure how much time really is involved for admin to be spending on these allocations to the fund, to the other funds. Plenty more, and but I only have that much time. Thank you for extending it.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Mm-hmm. Christina Tobin.
Hi, I wanted to thank Tina and Elizabeth for speaking up and really urge more members of the community to do as well. Fiscal responsibility is something, as I admit, I have been traveling nationally the last couple of months. I'm very happy to be back to my home more regularly from here on, I feel. But in speaking with dozens, 50, 100 more Cambrians here on the ground, I love talking to the people. Fiscal responsibility seems to be a big issue, and there's a lot of concern with members of the community, fear, concern, I don't like to feed too much into fear, but concern of a potential bankruptcy with the desal plant. That is concern. I commend Mr. Harry Farmer every month, the first Wednesday of every month, the Redwood Cafe. He speaks from 10 a.m. to 12. I again urge Cambrians to check that out and join that, but I feel as of today, he really is, in my opinion, the only CSD board member that really has a voice of reason, and the only one today, and when we're addressing the fiscal issues, seems to have concern that I see here in person today regarding our finances. It's also been brought to my attention by many members of Cambria that a majority or some members of the CSD board feel that maybe a lot of growth or development is going to help to pay off this debt, you know, help relieve us of this potential bankruptcy of this desal plant. This is very, very scary. So I'm really looking forward to just going to Harry's meeting yesterday, helped bring me up to speed very quickly, learning from quite a few other members of the community about what's going on. And also listening to him yesterday on David Congleton's show, KBEC, very enlightening, very brought a lot of awareness, but I really urge people to start attending these meetings and speaking up in the mic and voicing your opinions. So a lot of you out there have come up to me. I urge all of you, whether the meeting's day, evening, I thank the board for making some of the evening's meetings. I appreciate that. But really, I really want them to come here and start speaking to you so you can hear what I'm hearing from a lot of other people. So thank you for your time and appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, Director Farmer.
I want to thank Ms. Tobin for the comments that she made, but I just want to mention that maybe I'm just being a little bit too self-centered here, but I did not in any way, shape, or form encourage the mention of my name by her. Like I say, I appreciate the comments, I didn't request that that happen. That's probably the best way I want to describe that, and thank you.
Yeah,
Vice President Sanders.
I just think it's terribly irresponsible to be throwing words around like bankruptcy. I mean, that's just patently ridiculous.
So let's have a discussion, and there's a few things that I'd just like to set a stage for us to have this discussion. One of the things that the budget does, and this is the preliminary budget, and Director Sanders and I worked very hard to try and get some of these things back in line, It's going to be a while before we have a budget that will be sustainable over the long haul, but we are at least not going to have to approve a budget that's in the red. Now, the trade-off for that is that we are not going to be able to do some of the projects that we know are past needing to get done, and I want to hear from the Infrastructure Committee specifically, and I want to know if there's any additional that the Fire Committee wants to give input about relating to the fire budget, not just about the safer firefighters, but the other things, because these are the way that this was put together is based on direction just from the Finance Committee and not from the full board, which we're missing Michael today, but I'm assuming that somebody has talked to him, and so we won't, his thoughts will be included. This is also a preliminary. Now, one of the important things that I think is why we struggle sometimes with the budget and why we've ended up with budgets in the red, whether it was planned or not, is there's not a lot of policies on how these, whether it's the allocated overhead or how do we deal with at the end of the year, we have a deficit in an enterprise fund. And going forward this year, after we pass the budget, I want to have those discussions. In addition to authorizing the general manager to spend these funds, it should reflect the goals of the board. Now, the goals of the board, which I've made a copy for everybody so we could look at them, the goals of the board that we unanimously approved talk about reviewing mission statement and vision for the district, ensuring current delivery of efficient, adequate services, supporting development of future resiliency, and all of these things are part of what we had approved, and we part of that, if you look on the 2016 goals, those 2016 goals are still folded in, which includes funding for the community park. I know that it's a tight budget, but we've committed multiple years by saying as a board that that was something we wanted to make a priority. Getting the regular coastal development permit is a priority. And if we need to change these different goals to different goals, I'm okay with that. I really want to bring what the direction is that that this board wants to have into the light. I also want to commend Patrick. He's really brought forward a lot of information that makes it a lot easier to see what's happening in the different budget areas and how we might cover some of these expenses that before were a little more opaque. And I think he's done a bang up job doing that. Better adjectives happen in my head when I think of one. I'll use it. Director Behringer.
Okay, just as maybe a process, maybe we should go over these the direction on the back. But prior to that, I just want to mention that Steve Niffen did come in here and support the park. And it's not practical to push money off into the coming year. We've bid the project several times, and the bid is to have the completion by November. So if they don't have the money, if they can't start, we'd almost have to start over again. This is a 9-year project. We need to get going. So if there's any advocacy from my perspective is to try and fund that in its entirety using whatever kind of magic that the accountants can do. I think that's a priority. But other than that, mm-hmm. to comment on property tax allocation, I think that it's the right way to do it. It's more understandable to me, and I think I would recommend direction to continue with that property tax allocation issue.
Okay, well, why don't we see if we have a consensus on that specific change for the future fiscal year's budget. Does anybody have a disagreement with the way that it's been re?
No. Okay. I'd also apply the same.
I think you're okay to go forward on that one.
I'd also apply the same for the admin department cost distribution. I think he looked at it 6 different ways from Sunday, and I think that that's appropriate way to go.
I would just comment that I think that it does make more sense, but I would worry about. I mean, there's some admin costs that are just admin, and so allocating everything out is maybe difficult. I like the creative idea with the franchise fees to help out the park. I think that's a good way to go. I don't think we should change from what's been proposed. Are you okay with that? On the admin cost department allocation for the cost distribution, I should say, for the next coming year?
Just because the word franchise fee came up, it might be an opportunity for us to look at the potential of increasing the franchise fee for waste management. Is there a date for that, when we can address that again? Is there a contract?
It would require a Prop 218.
For us to garner more of the waste management's, they give us a franchise fee for waste management. It's a contract between us and them.
There's an opportunity to do that, but we have to wait till the existing contract is up.
So. And so maybe next week you can come up with what that date is, so that we can get a heads up on how that would affect our budget.
All right. Well, before we continue down this list, I do want to hear from the Infrastructure Committee specifically on the Stewart Street tank in particular, because I don't want to buy a new brake system and a new tires for a car that we're going to have to replace another 2 years from now if we're going to spend that much money. But I know we are cash poor, which means we have to be smart about it. I just don't want to down the drain that money.
Let me start really quickly, though. It wasn't a consensus between the Infrastructure Committee on trying to delay this. We had a little discussion, but it was offline. It wasn't. We were talking at first of whether it's going to be welded or not welded. It was, $150,000 or big numbers, twice as expensive to get a welded tank. And I don't think it was a consensus between Mr. Farmer and myself that, show me why it's worth another $150,000. But in the process, and I think it was subsequent to the Finance Committee forcing a balanced budget, I thought that, hey, maybe we can just replace some of those panels. And I mentioned it to Mr. Gruber. Mr. Gruber, in fact, had them look at it. I personally think that the tank next to it, these tanks are, 35 years old, and the new tank is going to go another 35 years. One tank is not even in disarray. So if we can just, because it's a bolted tank, there's a possibility of fixing it up for $50,000. And I'm also part of the infrastructure ad hoc committee. I'm taking some input from Mr. Farmer, where he's saying, hey, if we're going to do a $300,000 tank, we need to try and get grants, try and get low interest loans. And the general manager mentioned very clearly that that's a one-year process. So if we can extend the life of this tank for 3 years, it might allow us to use some money for other priorities. But that's just a Stewart Street tank. I'm appalled. Am I appalled? I'm extremely disappointed that we don't have any CIP projects in the wastewater department. It's to me, we need to find the money somehow. We need to either look at rates or something. But just taking capital improvement projects and putting them aside is, in my opinion, not an option.
Director Farmer and then Farmer Vice President. To follow on, I'm assuming, right, with infrastructure.
Let Director Sanders.
All right. Okay. Vice President Sanders.
I agree with Director Beringer 100% on the Stewart Street tank. If we can get a few more miles out of that used car, then I think we should. On the issue of capital improvement projects, on the one hand, I think Director Beringer is absolutely correct. We really, in a perfect world, can't afford to delay capital improvement projects, particularly to the wastewater plant. Having said that, we've got some budgetary realities that are staring us in the face. So perhaps as we get into the coming fiscal year, we can assess where we are financially. And the only place the money can come from is out of reserves. It may be a policy issue that the board wants to address. Should we do that? And if there's a compelling need for a particular capital improvement project, then maybe that's what the board wants to do.
Yeah, I agree with you, if you don't mind, Madam President. I agree with Mr. Sanders on the fact that we can go to reserves and start putting capital improvement projects, which gives us a little more time. However, I don't think it's the only way. If we have some found money, and there's some found money that can happen, there's the possibility of recovering some of the sales tax on the plant, and there's other places where we might be able to get those funds. And if we can get those funds, I think we can start earmarking them specifically for some of these capital improvement projects. So, and also the fact that our rates in the wastewater department are mm-hmm. clearly unsustainable, but mm-hmm. and it's not going to take that much. It's amazing how a few dollars a month from 4,000 customers right. makes a big difference. So, I don't expect large rate increases, but I do expect that we should make that fund solvent for the first time probably in a decade.
Agreed.
Director Farmer.
Director Sanders and I don't necessarily agree on everything, but I think both of us have commented, at least since I've been on the board, that there is a real need to address the need for repairs and upgrades at the sewer plant, at the wastewater facility. And I'm seriously disappointed that when the cleaver had to be taken to some part of how our district operates, you know, with regard to infrastructure, that to balance the budget, it's the sewer plant that is taking the hit. And I would only hope somehow that as we move forward through this upcoming fiscal year, that we're able to make some financial adjustments somehow and begin to address the needs of the sewer plant. Because I realize this is stated as a balanced budget, whereas this past year we were in an over $2 million deficit. However, to me, it's like smoke and mirrors. It's like, you know, where's the pea under which cup? And the ultimate situation is sooner or later we have to spend funds on the wastewater facility, while we have other emerging financial challenges with regard to, you know, other parts of the operation, including the emergency water facility. And I just want people to know that just because you're hearing balanced budget, it doesn't reflect the reality of things that will need to be done. Thank you.
Agreed, and I think there is a policy issue that we can look at since this budget doesn't show into the red and spending into reserves, that there might be a revision to the reserves policy that a certain percentage is set aside for capital projects or something of that ilk. When it comes down to it, there are expenses that are, yeah, it's nice to have that. Do we need it? Maybe, maybe not. And some of those things are policy questions, like do we need an advocate? I know we've got the permit coming up. We maybe need to look at that. That's a fair amount of money in water and wastewater. And to be fair, it wasn't all cut from wastewater, the wastewater budget and the CIP budget. There were a lot of expenses in each department that got reduced because it every single department was in the red when the Finance Committee was looking at the prior draft. Yes, General Manager Gruber?
One of the main improvements that we're doing, and we've already budgeted for it, is the installation of the influence screen. And we've, you know, that's on site right now. Yeah. And we've, you know, got the preliminary designs for that. we're putting that out to bid to get it installed. So that's probably the most single most important component at that plant right now that was not installed when the plant was built. All the operational issues related to that influence screen are not installed in an influence screen. So that's, if I had to say, the most important component at that plant is that. And we have it on site, and we have the design, and now we're hopefully going to bring it in May to the board to award the bid. The second most important component is our energy cost down there, and we need to get a handle on that. Well, we're in the process of scheduling. There was a very comprehensive energy audit done by the folks in the county and Energy Watch and PG&E, and it's the Infrastructure Committee has that, and we're scheduling a meeting to work to meet with them to hopefully be able to take advantage of their services. How it works is they provide you with funds to replace energy efficient things that aren't energy efficient, and you pay for that by the offset of your energy costs. So essentially, the blowers at the wastewater treatment plant, the ones that run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I couldn't agree with all of you more. There are some real needs, but we're making some progress. And once we get that influent screen put in, a lot of the operational issues will improve at the plant. And then if we can partner with the folks at the with the county and get our energy cost under control, we can take that money and fund hopefully some new equipment. So we are making some progress, but I do agree with you. I would like to see more. I would like to see more. I really would.
Vice President Sanders.
Thank you. It seems to me what we need to do is have a special meeting that focuses on nothing but capital improvement projects. All of this needs to be reduced to writing, numbers, prioritization, and then I think the board could make some rational decisions about what can be built, what can't be built, where the money's going to come from, et cetera. And I think we should do that fairly soon.
Director Sanders, to comment on that, this is only the wastewater. We're looking at wastewater. We're going to be looking at water here pretty soon, but that fund isn't as problematic. And they do have updated on the 3rd of May, and in the 2017-18 budget, there was $1,301,000 earmarked. And if you just take the priority ones, it's $955,000, I think. So for that to not be included anywhere, I think both Mr. Farmer and myself were a little disturbed at. But I agree with the process. The process is to let the public know what an important project is for water, wastewater, and so on and so forth. And if we do have, in fact, a balanced budget, the only place to get that is either from reserves or to put it together and fund it either through financing or whatever, and have people understand what the impact will be for their rates. It's the only thing to do.
Yeah, I think the I've seen the work product that you and Director Farmer have put together. It's excellent. It needs to see the light of day.
Agreed. So that's some direction to that to the infrastructure ad hoc committee to have a so that we can have that.
So I think May is unreasonable. April, May, June. Let's try and do something by the end of June or let's say 1st of July. Let's a target for that. Vehicle replacement policy, I have a...
Before we get to there, okay. we'll get there in just one minute, because I do want to say that one of the focus that we approved in January was to shift from last hour reactions to our resource and infrastructure deficiencies, which means not just putting off things and trying to be a better stewards of all of the resources we have. I'm looking at the board goals for 2017, page 2. And I think that having a plan, this suggestion that Vice President Sanders made regarding the infrastructure and capital improvements, that's a step in the right direction, so we're not just constantly reacting. The balanced budget concerns me a bit, because by the end of the year, because the contingency amounts are so low, our margins are so close, I mean, it makes sense to do a rate study. Back on the direction. Before we leave the admin department cost, are we up to date? I know one of the things in the MOU for the SEIU is relating to time off, and you can't kind of accumulate too much vacation. You have to cash out at the end of the year. Is that the case? Are we doing that? I'm seeing nodding over there.
We actually, our payroll clerk just sent an email to all the staff explaining what those rules are, what they can carry over. There are provisions for the general manager to make exceptions, but they have to have that approved by, I think, May the 19th. But yeah, we keep up with that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we didn't have something that was going on, you know, accumulating big and not. Yeah, thank you. General Manager Gruber?
Well, go ahead and answer this, and I just need a point of clarification from the board.
There are things, you know, employees are allowed to accumulate sick leave, and often if people work for 20 or 30 years, which they sometimes do, they can accumulate years worth of sick leave, and then that can be either cashed out or added to their PERS when they retire. So there is the opportunity for that to happen legitimately. Yeah. Okay.
And just trying to keep my eye on. Okay. Thank you, Director Berenger.
Well, I just wanted to move on to the vehicle replacement policy.
I know you want to move on, and that's where we're going
next.
And you can be chair. You can be chair at the next meeting.
No. I want to be efficient.
Please. Thank you.
I think that the general manager in the past, this past year, and actually for the last several years, what he's done is instead of having a vehicle replacement policy, he's put in so many dollars per month into each department. The department heads can then do what they need to do for vehicle replacement. I think it works fine.
So my concern on the vehicle replacement policy is more that we just have more than a few months ahead of time to know that we're going to be encumbering the district with another loan for whether it's 30 or 50,000, and I don't even know how many vehicles we have right now that are, you know, imminent for replacement or imminent for full payoff right now, and so we own them free and clear. I know we have a fairly extensive fleet, but I'll be darned if I could tell you anything other than we have a bunch of trucks, and I know we have the admin vehicle, so I want to try and just kind of get a handle on that, because it is a big expense and it is a big part of our assets. I want to make sure that what we're doing is we're maintaining them. We know how many are coming up in the next couple of fiscal years. It's just a more long-term, how can we make sure that we have the vehicles we need and are not overspending?
Madam President, this was the, since I've been here, this truck that we'll be bringing in May is the first time that this has happened. So I think that in itself speaks for itself, that the current policy or the current program we have in place is working. Unfortunately, Jason's truck didn't last as long as he anticipated, but staff will do whatever the board wants us to do. But I would, my recommendation, and I'll give some options, but is to stay with the existing policy we have, because we are so low on cash. And when you talk about a vehicle replacement program, one of the most expensive things that a city or a county or a special district can do is to have a vehicle replacement program, because what you're doing is you're allocating a large amount of your revenues as a set-aside fund, and it can be expensive. And I don't necessarily think that we're in the financial position right now
if I might be clear about what I was saying about a vehicle replacement policy. Even if we do them all as loans, let's make sure we're doing them all as loans in a way that makes sense. Let's make sure that we know when we're going to be encumbering a new loan and when those are getting paid. I mean, they might only, I don't know how many of the vehicles we have are right near the end of their useful lives, even, which is would be a helpful thing to know. I'm not talking about setting money aside. I'm talking about just knowing, in lieu of setting money aside, let's at least know, okay, these three trucks are going to need to be replaced in 2 or 3 years or something. I mean, we don't even have that right now. So I'm looking for that kind of more pulled in position on it.
Madam President, I agree, but I also think we have bigger fish to fry, and if we let staff get this budget to us and we start the next year, let's put a vehicle replacement policy in and let them go count all the trucks and figure out what the things they are. But I think for the next 60 days anyway, to give them a break and focus it on the beginning of next year, something like that.
Agreed, and that's a policy that I just want to make sure that it's not just me that wants to have some more clarity on what our fleet is and whether or not we should be doing things like, I don't know, hybrid trucks. I don't know whether that would make sense. I don't know. And, you know, there's not a lot, and because that's a big chunk of our assets, not the huge chunk, but it's a big chunk, and not a small amount of debt that we keep. I mean, we can practically loan the money to ourselves at half the interest rate we're taking out through Ford or Muni Finance or wherever. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not expecting this will get done before this budget is done. Does that help? Is that helpful? And if nobody else on the board is interested in looking at that, I mean, then we can drop it right now because we have to have a majority of the board to go forward on something like that of a policy issue. So the sounds like what I'm hearing is, as long as we're, and I didn't want to try and get it done before the budget this year for next year's budget. I think that it's something we should definitely try and get done in the next fiscal year is all.
Okay.
Franchise fee allocation. I think we kind of covered it.
Yeah.
Are you clear on direction for that franchise fee? And that was to put it over to the for the park?
Park. Yeah, as proposed.
Good.
Harry, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Policies on interfund loans. This is also another policy we're not going to hammer out today, but it's something that we do need to consider going forward because especially with a zero at the end, we may not have zero once we get to June 2018. So right. As long as the board consensus is that we put this on for the agendas going forward to take care of that, we still will have to deal with whatever the audit does for this next year, because I'm assuming even with this $200,000 check, we may be in the red in the enterprise funds, maybe?
Yeah, the current fiscal year, we are in the red in the wastewater fund, and that was a budgeted decision. We're not as far in the red as we had budgeted, and water also, because we didn't get the $660,000 loan for the fiscal energy tank.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those funds, and we'll address that once the fiscal year's over.
And that's part of doing the loans from the reserves to do the, whether we do Stewart or other capital projects out of.
Right, and out of, as I said at the last meeting, I think it's very important that we have great visibility into any funds that are loaned out of the general fund. We should, in a relatively short period of time, we should not, hopefully not have that problem anymore. And I do like the idea of having a very small interest rate so that it has some visibility into it. But yes, that policy is something I would endorse if and when we do it.
It'll help for the longer term for the district, too, if we have something like that, and it'll help the general manager understand where we need to be for trying to get things done. Last one on here that Patrick has listed is the admin cost allocation to SWF. Vice President Sanders?
I'm responsible for bringing this issue up. Right now, we're not charging any admin cost to the SWF. In my view, we're getting a somewhat distorted picture of admin costs because, particularly over the last few months, we have allocated much more staff time to SWF matters than anything else that I can think of. I say that without recommending a change in the policy on allocation of overhead. I think there's a substantial benefit to rat-holing the money that was set aside. I think we need to do that in anticipation of the regular coastal development permit process going forward, conditions of approval that are going to be imposed on operating the SWF by the county and the Coastal Commission. So I simply raise the issue so that we're all cognizant that a whole lot of staff time is being spent on the SWF that is not getting charged back to the SWF. But I think the present policy of not charging admin costs to the SWF is sound in light of the short-term expenses right. that we're going to incur.
But it might change the allocation next year because it'll be absorbed maybe into the water fund?
Quite possibly, yes.
Okay.
Madam President, may I comment on, I think, the excellence of this particular package that was presented to us today. I also compliment the committee for forcing a balanced budget. I think it's interesting exercise and certainly adds clarity. I think the new way of reporting this with the allocations and the you know, the account numbers, et cetera, it makes it much more clear for anybody to follow, and I would recommend accepting the budget as the preliminary budget as presented.
Madam President, I agree. I think the zero-based budgeting, the reallocation of property tax, the charging back admin costs the way this budget proposes is a very good way to go. I would not like to see us leave this discussion without giving at least some preliminary indication to the staff on the status of the SAFER firefighters. This budget takes the SAFER firefighters beyond the grant, expiration of the grant, all the way through to the end of the fiscal year. In my view, if we're going to do that, then we ought to be treating the SAFER firefighters as full-time regular employees going forward into succeeding fiscal years.
I just need to point out one thing. I would like to be able to come back to the board with another cost analysis, because SAFER firefighters are paid $13 an hour, and regular firefighters are paid substantially more than that.
Yeah.
So we're not looking at a $50,000.
It's over $200,000.
Yeah. So right. I
understand.
Okay.
Which would then possibly, yeah. General Manager Gruber.
And I need some direction on the CIP aspect of this. I assume that you'll want that analysis done or that discussion regarding the CIP list as part of this year's budget, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, except that what I thought we decided is that we'd go with this budget, have the CIP
workshop.
And then consider whether or not we would use other revenue sources.
Thank you for that clarification. And that really,
yeah,
I'm going to sleep better tonight, and I'll tell you why. you know, we've just our highest priority right now is obviously getting responses to the Regional Water Quality Control Board in a timely manner. In conjunction with that is the EIR. We've made a commitment to have a special meeting before the end of May, and staff's holding to that. So I sincerely appreciate. I agree with you absolutely 100% with regards to the capitals. That will give us some more time to focus on updating the CIP from on the water side, and. As Director Berenger indicated, you know, we were looking at roughly on priority one under fiscal year 17-18, about $900,000. These are the kind of conversations I love to have. You know, we'll put it together, we'll figure out how we can do it, and work with, you know, staff has some really good ideas, and I mentioned this earlier, about not just looking at the rate structure itself, but looking at the categories within the existing the categories, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so there's Monique has kind of come up through the ranks over the years, and she's got some really, really good ideas and shared those with me, and I think they should be shared with the board. And if we choose to move forward and work with Alex Handler, I really want to think outside the box and be creative. But I appreciate all the work that everybody's done. I really... Finance Committee, the Ad Hoc Committee. I didn't intentionally not fund any CIP projects. I just wanted to bring you a balanced budget, that's all.
Having a separate CIP budget is a good thing anyway, so I think everybody's on it. Harry, are you on the same page on that capital improvements?
Actually, I'm on a totally different page here.
Okay. Of course. Director Farmer.
There's three things I'd like to address, and for some embarrassing reason here, because I made a number of notes as to pages that I wanted to reference, I know somewhere in here, in the preliminary budget, is the cost of purchasing the library. You know, purchasing the library, getting the loan, and how could we say it, restoring the library so we can use it at its administrative office. And I don't know how I do know how the remainder of the members of the board feel about that. I do want to say that with regard to having a new facility, I'm just going to express this, which I have done in the past. I think in the ideal world, if we had the funds, that location where the old library is would be much more ideal than what we have now. Certainly, purchasing a building that we would ultimately own as opposed to paying rent is a great idea. I'm just concerned about this relatively $900,000 in cost to purchase the library, and like I say, repairing it so it's now an office for us. I'm not necessarily so sure that we can't afford that. So that's my first concern. The second thing that I would like to ask about, and this has to do with something that Tina Dickerson brought up in her public comment, and that is with regard to the salary and where it's kind of hidden away here and there for Dean Flores of Balance Public Relations. And so if I could just ask you, Patrick, on page 32, and this is about halfway down on the page, under professional services, where it says advocate, and it says, you know, this year's fiscal budget, $55,000, and then this coming fiscal budget, fiscal year budget, will be $32,600. Who is that?
That's Dean Flores. That's Balanced Public Relations.
Okay, so in other parts of this particular document, he's referred to as strategic advisor. And then there's other places where it just says, you know, balanced public relations. I personally would like it if it was just like one term throughout. So we know, the advocate, who is also the strategic advisor, happens to be Dean Flores Public Relations. So I don't have to ask you, well, who the heck is this? And if I could just ask you then, this is under wastewater. By the way, I noticed where under the administration department, he receives 10% of his salary. Under wastewater, he receives 30%, but he receives ultimately 100% of his salary under the emergency water facility. So what I'd like to know is how much in the upcoming budget are we giving to Dean Flores Balance Public Relations?
Yeah, I can clarify that. I just haven't proofed. This is an initial draft, and things like that are come out, and I'll correct it, and I'll make it consistent.
Okay, so do you still have any idea? Is he going to? Of course, we have to determine this, I think, sometime in June. Have you already allocated a salary for him for the?
Well, not a salary, but a contract amount. Mm-hmm. It's $108,000 a year is what the contract amount is
okay.
for, plus expenses.
All right.
But he doesn't bill very many expenses. But yeah, the contract is for $108,000 a year.
Okay, so as of this moment, he will still be in our employment.
All I'm doing is preparing a budget. I don't have anything to do with it.
That's right. That's our decision to make.
Yes.
But if it's in the budget that we pass, that means that it's authorized to have him continue on.
pull. If I'm not mistaken, aren't we going to be doing a job evaluation for him very soon? Mm-mm. We don't do any type of evaluation on the services that he's provided us?
His contract is coming up in June, and then it'll be up to the board whether they decide to renew that contract or not. He's a, you know, I think your conversation would evolve around if you're pleased with his services and, you know, and if you're happy with the job he's doing, but you don't necessarily do an evaluation.
Well, I guess this is just semantics then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ms. Dickinson did bring up something else about the director's pay. Did we budget the right amount for the director's pay? Okay. Thank you.
That's a good point.
I just want to make sure we got that.
We certainly don't want our salaries, you know, cut in half.
We just gave ourselves a $25 a meeting raise.
Madam President, we based it on the timesheets that you guys are. I got to tell you, you're, six is the limit, but there's a lot of times, in most instances, there's 8 and 10, and you guys. And she did the math right. Because I checked, and if you were to do 6 a month times 100 times 5 times 12, mm-hmm. Unless you guys want to slow down, but we could maybe give some wiggle room there. I agree with Patrick.
Well, that's 2 whole months of balanced public relations right there. So the last thing I just want to let directors know is it is really helpful when you find those little things like the consistency and the numbers. When you find them, please just email them to Patrick. So when we're looking at the draft budget for approval, we've got those little things sorted out because I definitely appreciate them. I know Patrick does too. He makes hardly any mistakes, and so these little things just they don't always pop out. Yeah, I think we're ready to adjourn?
Ready to rumble.
Regular board meeting is on the 27th this month at 12:30. Thank you.